back. It's live from the Five Hole. Faxes from UncleDale.com's and the Sam Fells, but Who's Buying Newsletters official weekly sort of podcast. I am Sam Fells of said newsletter and your host for this stupid little thing we do when we feel like it. Coming to you after the first preseason game, which after about 3 minutes, everyone realizes is pretty pointless. But that doesn't keep John from having a loaded notepad and a noted load pad, as previously discussed. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation. I should mention you can find me on Blue Sky at Fell's Gate. Leading off with the biggest jackass no talent in the business, he is Dr. Viral, and he's the CEO of WBCW on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 Central. Lockdown was last Friday, right? There's not one this Friday.
Lockdown?
What's your Friday show?
Oh, Lockdown is actually a TNA pay-per-view that's in Chicago, so you very much confused me. It is Battle House, which was
Battle House. That was last Friday.
Yeah.
Okay, missed it. Don't worry about Battle House. We'll get to the next one.
No.
Battletoads. You can find him on Blue Sky at Torque Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
Yeah, that's it. I've already said hello. So
he's already said hello. He's not going to say anything else. All right, see you guys next time. Yep. Good talk to you, Slack. He's working the ones and twos for us tonight. He is our supervising technician and our technical supervisor, as well as Hollywood's go-to grizzled crank. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. It's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan, indeed. And last but not least, he is the archivist. He is the goal line assassin. He is the Oracle of Humboldt Park. You can't find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
Sam, hello.
Efforting, hello.
Go ahead, Sam.
I talk too much. You go ahead.
John, I just wanted to make the cut in here to say that Sir Anthony is at it again.
Yes, I told you. I warned you, Andrew. I had bad news for you.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God. He's really at it again. Something bad just happened. Oh, Lord. Oh, God.
Without express written consent of Major League Baseball.
Hey, right. You're going to get us sued.
I said something bad happened. I didn't say what.
It's all right. Like, Spotify and iTunes regularly pull our shit down, like, three-year-old episodes because I let the intro music play a little too long. So, whatever.
Do they really?
Yep.
That's fun. They're like New Japan. Okay. Sam, go ahead.
John, I can't fathom what it is you could have to say after one preseason game, much less have a full notepad. But you do, or you claim to.
Well, Sam, there's nothing better than the Bears being on the TV.
Well, that's the thing.
It doesn't matter if it's a game that doesn't matter or not.
You turn on the TV, you hear Adam Amin's kind of grating voice, you see Jim Miller, and you wonder if he's going to choke on a chicken bone on air. And then you're like, oh, Stacey Dale, she's completely competent at this. Why don't they just let her do it without Jim Miller? You listen to the broadcast for about 10 minutes, and Jim Miller keeps asking Stacey Dales what happened in practice. And you're like, why aren't you there?
He's busy. What else
do you have to do?
He's got things, buddy.
Yeah, Jim Miller's a busy guy. It's like, oh, look, they're the uniforms on Soldier Field. Everything feels a little more right than it did before it started. And then nothing happens. But apparently for you, lots happened.
Yeah, no, I mean... Look, the rookies were the ones that you really want to, that for me, the preseason games are all about watching. You get your first taste of the draft class. So we can go right down the list of the guys that played. Okay. Really, I thought the two that stood out to me the most were Logan Jones. And I'm pretty sure he started the whole game, certainly the first half. And then they had Sam Roush. Was playing quite a bit, the third round pick tight end, right? To me, I thought both of them really stood out in that they just looked like they belonged. You know, Sam Roush is already, I could tell you, in two plays of preseason football, but going to be better than Durham Smythe.
Not much of a claim, but
no,
okay.
it's a low bar, but everybody was, you know, all agita about drafting some tight end from Stanford that nobody had heard of. All the perverts were, you know, in an uproar because they weren't on his list.
Right. They got their head stuck in the Hawks pipeline and they didn't know anything about the Bears pipeline.
So I think that that's I thought he looked really, really good. I mean, he didn't do much per se from the traditional stat line, but he just looked like he belonged. He was in and out of his routes.
That's an NFL
quicker.
Frame.
Mm-hmm. It's an NFL frame. He just looked cleaner on his routes. He looked cleaner running away from defenders when he did have the ball. It just was a smooth operation from him. And again, with Logan Jones, I thought he looked really, really strong. And these are two rookies that I think will be ready to go from week one. Now, this is where I'm going to transition to who's not going to be ready for week one is everyone's favorite sixth round pick, the defensive tackle that everyone can't shut up about.
Vandenberg.
Yeah. He's to me, that's a guy that's going to come on at the end of the season. As the season goes on, he's going to get better. But I wouldn't expect too much from him, I would say, in the first 2 to 3 weeks at least.
Well, they're signing a lot of veteran, you know, rotation line depth off the street here. So he's going to struggle to get snaps when they've got Gallimore and the other guy, the other mm-hmm. other guy, and whoever else is there.
Davenport.
Yeah, him too.
Yeah. So I think everybody's got to cool their tits on him for a little bit, because I just don't think that he's going to be the type of guy that's going to stand out. And I know what's going to happen. You're going to go through 2 to 3 weeks, and then people are going to start saying, how come he's not doing anything week to week? And then everybody's going to get all nervous, and then he'll start to flash as the season goes on. I think it's going to be a similar trajectory as Colston Loveland last year.
Not as sharp on the back.
No, obviously not as impactful as Loveland was on the second half, but the same type of thing where the first few weeks it's going to be like he's barely even playing, and then you're going to start to notice him as the season goes on.
I don't think we'll ever see him.
You don't think we're ever going to see him?
No,
I think he's going to be
there. I think this is the Bears beat writer crusade. I think they get together before every training camp and say, let's pick a bum we're all going to get excited about just to entertain ourselves. And we're going to talk him up like, oh, you should see his reps in practice because no one else can. And all the fans who go to practice are weird and don't have communications of any kind. And they just hype this guy up. So this is who they've picked? Like, you got to watch this guy, because if they're wrong, no one cares. He's a
it's
six-round
all
pick.
Part of the white African AstroTurf right. genocide, white genocide campaign.
Whatever. but they pick a guy. It's a sixth or seventh round pick. It's some free agent, because if he's not good, if you never see him, well, no, by that point, no one cares. We're ensconced in the season. We have bigger problems. And then if he actually is good, they can say, hey, we told you about this guy. We know what we're doing. We're the experts. He's another one of those. He'll get in the rotation or whatever, and maybe he makes play here or there, but that's it.
Andrew's YouTube guys are getting in on him, though, too.
Are they?
Yes.
Yeah, they're liking what they're seeing.
Because he got in on the quarterback on a screen pass?
No, he had a couple
He's got a motor,
rushes.
Sam. He's got a motor.
Right,
he's got a
motor. He's white. If you're white and you play on the defensive line, you have a motor.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it works.
Well, I can tell you who didn't have a motor. Andrew Billings.
He did not.
He ate a motor.
He ate it, yes.
I thought Malik Muhammad looked really good, too.
I liked him.
Yep.
He's got potential for sure. He's got some presence.
Mm-hmm.
But he's in the secondary.
I'm not talking about Santa Claus.
So
you know what I mean?
Yeah, he'll be hurt soon enough. Don't worry. Yeah.
Because they didn't stretch.
Yep. Because he's not stretching, exactly.
He's not stretching. He's not warming up properly.
And then Thieneman, you know, he looked fine. I think, again, he's going to be the type of guy. I think it's just going to be a longer runway for him to really start to make an impact. I think it might be a little turbulent for the first
weeks. I agree, because an aggressive safety who's learning the ropes, when he fucks up, it's going to be mm-hmm. a big play the other way.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the nature of the job. I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to him.
But I think, again, with the Bears offense and what they're expected to do this year and the schedule at the start of the season, a lot of these things aren't going to be as critical or as important as they have been maybe in years past. Because, you know, I think the offense is going to put up a ton of points. They're going to move the ball. They're going to be able to control the ball when they need to. So it's not going to be, you know, the game's not going to be swinging on, you know, one or two critical moments involving Dylan Thienemann. At least that's the hope.
No, it'll swing expectation. On whether they stretch before the game.
Yes, yes, they have to stretch before the game.
Just to interject here, I shouldn't beat this horse. This was all last week's joke.
Mm-hmm.
But if for those of you who read Ben Solak, piece on ESPN about Ben Johnson and how they crafted the Bears' offense as the season went around, and you read what this guy has to say about how he thinks about the game, how he changes things, and how deeply they get involved with the players, and like, this is the guy who they didn't think was having players warm up properly. Like, this guy hasn't thought about every single second of practice.
He's letting Dennis Allen dictate who's stretching and who's not. He's just delegating.
This guy sleeps 4 hours a night, designs every minute of every practice in training camp and the season. All he thinks about is how to win football games, win them all. It's all he thinks about. And then when it comes time for 10 minutes before practice, he goes, ah, fuck it.
Dennis, you deal with it.
Yeah, right. is that what we're dealing with here?
Yeah.
let's go down the yellow path.
Yeah, I mean, I try to be one of those people that doesn't take too much out of those preseason games because I think we've just
it.
No, because I feel like I've tried to learn from years past. So the annual Artie Bucco preseason MVP award, the defensive end that flashed a few times, I think his name was Cromar. He's a
player. Baby.
Yeah.
Dio's motivation.
Absolutely do not buy that stock. Because I mean, I don't think it matters at all. When you're talking about guys that are
Stewart?
Who?
Reddy Stewart?
Yeah, no.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No, he had two interceptions against Kansas City in like the third preseason game
2 years
ago.
Yes,
one of them was a touchdown.
Yes.
And he didn't even make the team.
Right. Right. It's just crazy if you're going to try and only look for the flash plays in these types of games as though they mean anything at all.
Yeah, like Beanie Bishop Jr.
Right. Right. Well, and again, like Cleveland was throwing out high school quarterbacks. Like that was just
their quarterbacks.
Dylan Gabriel is not an acceptable professional quarterback.
I saw people
in college
calling Shadur Black Tebow.
Bleebo?
Well, I think Sam's Tenier kind of hit it on the head. Like there's nobody that
nobody knows what that means.
No, then nor should they. But I think he said something along the lines of like Shadir is just AI bot campaign. Like there's nobody that really believes that he's an NFL quarterback, but there's just all these bots on the internet telling you that he is. So then people think that there's some sort of like controversy about it.
It's called astroturfing.
Yeah.
Yes.
It
does feel like that is happening. I agree.
Anyways. Yeah. He looked shitty too. Apparently though, Chase Daniel, is trying to blame ass sweat from the center on Shadir's interception. So,
well, that's what we blame this podcast sucking on.
Yes, our
collective ass sweat.
Yes, we're all dripping with ass sweat, and we're fumbling the ball, and we can't get a tight spiral off because the center is snapping a wet ball back to us.
Chase Daniel can be safely ignored for now until the end of time.
Absolutely.
Just a stupid human being.
Yeah, for sure. And probably early onset of CTE, even though he never played.
He did make a lot of money doing nothing.
Yeah, hey, go keep doing that.
Yeah.
Now he's doing something, and it's a problem for America.
Yeah. Yeah. We were all happier when you did nothing, so go back to that. You were happy.
We know you're wearing a backwards hat because you have no hair on the back of your head. Just shave your head, you fucking loser.
So Sam,
is he a YouTube guy? Is that
yes?
Yeah. Okay. And wasn't he partnered with Diana Russini with a podcast too?
Oh, you might be onto something here. Actually,
I think they did.
That is
a podcast together.
That
or something.
Is great stuff. Which means they definitely banged for sure
when she had a job. But anyways, Sam, you had some stadium thoughts
I did.
Did you see the halftime with George?
No, I skipped it quarter? Because I knew it would be stupid as fuck.
It was as bad as you could expect.
But, well, here's the thing. So,
but it was only a minute long. Like it, the stadium right. part, like Adam Amin, like he approached it as though like I know you, I'm not going to ask you a hard question, essentially. Right.
Because I'm working for you.
Yes. And we have to talk about it, even though I know there's really nothing to talk about. So I'm going to ask you the question about the stadium. Like the way that he like phrased it was like so bizarre. Like they just had to get it out of the way. Okay. And then.
So here's my thing. And here's why I didn't feel the need to turn it on. If you're the. So this is, as Bernstein has probably told most of our listeners, you know, the preseason game is a Bears production. You know, they hire the broadcast crew, they, you know, it's their shift. This is not Fox's shift. They just put it on local Fox, but it's the Bears production crew. If you're in Bears media and publicity, and you're like, all right, we got a halftime segment to talk about this stadium that doesn't and will never exist. How far down the list should George McCaskey be of the people to present it? Like, he can't be top of the list. He can't talk. He knows nothing.
He's a man
and he's
of the
not
people.
Personable. He's not camera. He's not like camera friendly. He's not good speaking. He's just like he's bad at this. It's like, okay, well, let's not have him do it.
Because he can't read good.
Right. And if Kevin Warren didn't want to do it because everyone sees through his shit, then just get your PR guy.
Scott
just, like, your
Hagel?
Head PR guy.
What's is that his name?
Get the Bears
know.
Blog guy to do it.
Right.
The Bears dweeb.
The Bears dweeb. Just like get someone who's polished, who knows how to like sell bullshit.
Get Dabanail to sell Northern Indiana.
If they had one single guy capable of doing that, this wouldn't be as crazy as it's been.
Right, but they don't.
Big Raj wouldn't be stepping in.
You don't have an ad rep you could throw a fake title on for the Cryon and just be like, we're, you know, here's what we're doing, and here's what's going to happen, and this is why we're doing it.
Well, here's why, Sam, is because I don't think anybody else wants to put their name to this, because they all know that this is just a complete train wreck.
Right, but if you work for the Bears and they say you're going to sell this, you kind of have to do it.
Yeah, or you could just be like, you should do it, sir.
Either that or I quit, you know? But like when George is like, no, I'll go on TV, stop right there. Like that's okay, we're not... That's not something that's going to happen. You're not going on TV. You're not going to talk.
But he did. And he
but
did.
But he did. And apparently it was bad. I think the highlight from what I heard was you can sort of see the skyline back there.
Yes. And it was the haziest skyline that you could see. It looked like as though it was like 300 miles away.
Because like the way you see... I mean, it kind of is.
Because yeah. The poisonous stink lines from the soil in Hammond...
I mean,
are clouding the view.
Kind of, there is
plus, they don't have electricity.
Yeah,
that made them look like real assholes too. Like selling, oh yeah, this is where we're going to put all this stuff, and the fucking state is good, even if they are Indiana residents, which you know. But like that, again, you look like even more assholes. The entire the entire town doesn't have power, and you're going to talk about like how the government's going to pay for you to go there.
Also, wouldn't. A half professional organization that's trying to do this before they do any of this, wouldn't they call the mayor of Hammond and be like, here's the message, you got to get out there?
Yeah,
it's the Bears.
You would think, Sam, you would think.
Because every time I hear this guy talk, he's less in the loop than we are.
Sounds like he sounds like befuddled John. Oh, buddy, I don't know.
Oh, buddy, I don't know. It's something's happening. I gotta go. It's just the funniest. I mean, they've basically neutered themselves out of any deal. I don't really know. I mean, I know how this ends with them playing in Soldier Field till the day I die, which isn't that far off. But it's like, okay, no one is buying this thing. And we all know George is not going to move you to Indiana. So by the time they go crawling back to Illinois, which they're probably doing as we speak, Pritzker and everyone's going to be like, you're not getting a deal from us. You're going to take what we give you.
Well, my understanding is that the Bears aren't even telling them what they want. They're just, you know, I guess.
Right, they're assuming the state will just hand them whatever they want.
And do the work of writing the bill.
Right. I think, yeah, that's the biggest thing is that, like, apparently what a lot of, again, I'm not a politician, nor am I a lobbyist, but a lot of what happens is that these groups will help start the bill or write the bill. And then they get other, either Congress people or representatives to then present the bill to the House, and then it gets voted on, and et cetera, et cetera. It's not politicians that just kind of willy-nilly write these things up as they do them. Well, oh, the Bears want a stadium. Okay, well, I'm going to take time out of my day to write up something, and then the Bears will
show them something.
Yeah. You have to bring them what you want, and help them draft the bill. And then they help. Then they will in turn get it.
That's what Rogers they're doing now.
Yes, like, Rogers doing George and Kevin's
Rogers
shop.
Shows up, and he's just like, "All right, what did these idiots not
probably
do?"
Probably at the behest of the rest of the owners, because like the owner, like the Bears, even to move the stadium to Hammond, need 24 out of 32 or however many fucking teams are in this league to approve this, and they just won't if it's a complete. You know, if it's just, you know, like Riverfront Stadium on a fucking turd water.
That smells like butts. They also need the Bears to get some kind of deal from Illinois or Indiana, because then the next person who wants their own stadium doesn't want a precedent of, well, these guys boned it and had to pay for it themselves, so the next town's not going to pay for it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a very complex situation.
You would think, like, because this is going to impact whatever the fuck the White Sox think they're doing in the South Loop.
They're not doing anything in the South Loop.
Not yet, not until Jerry dies. And we get all that sweet Ishbia money.
Well, yeah, we'll get sidetracked if we talk about that. But I think that, I just think it's... The fact that Rogers getting involved now is just so funny.
I mean, I didn't think anyone could have Drew Reinsdorf meeting with the mayor of Nashville, being greeted by a giant middle finger by every Sox fan when he got back on the plane. Everyone, like every Sox fan going, okay, please take them out of my life. I don't
care.
Yeah,
coming off 140 loss season.
140 loss. By all means, move to Nashville. Rob me of this pain. I don't need anymore. You've got the Chicago Stars owned by the dumber Ricketts, who thinks she's getting a handout for some stadium for a team that is like 0-15. It's really quite a collection we've got here. Do we know when the Bears lease runs out at Soldier Field?
2033, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, they're gonna still be there.
They still owe $500 fucking million dollars to that.
No, they don't. We do. Bears don't owe anything on it.
I thought that they were on the hook if they were to move.
There's like declining. There's like a sliding scale depending on how early they break it. They owe like a penalty or something. But no, the bonds for repaying that are on the taxpayers.
Here's what I'll say. It took the Tennessee stadium that just got built, and the new Titans stadium. I think from essentially once the shovel hit the ground to completion, it was a 3.5 year process, which is my understanding the fastest that a stadium has ever been built of these
friendlier climate. But yeah.
The Niners stadium.
I was just
going to
say, there wasn't an international trade and economic crisis going on when that shit got started.
The Niners stadium took, I think, 4.5 to 5 years in Santa Clara. That thing took that long to build. So the Bears aren't even at the step of giving you of Matt's horny renderings. Right. You're not even there.
They don't even have fake pictures.
Right. Nor do you even have the land yet picked out. You've
land.
Got
have land.
You don't own the land.
Well, they own some land. They just don't own it in a way. They could start building the stadium tomorrow if they wanted.
In Hammond?
In Arlington.
Well, yeah, of course, in Arlington. I'm talking about in Hammond.
Right.
No, they couldn't in Hammond. No, they would still need years and years and years of environmental fucking what have you out there. They could tomorrow in Arlington if they wanted to.
Correct. I'm talking strictly Hammond right now.
Yeah.
Because George said that's their sole focus. Is Hammond. So if it's their sole focus, then I'll take that idiot on his word. And I'm telling you,
that garbage.
That stadium won't get built. He'll be dead before that stadium. They even come close to
you know, opening. I'll take George's word. It might be his sole focus. He doesn't know what that means. He doesn't know what that involves. They're just like
it's
we need
the Ford
you to
focus
look.
That he drives.
We just need you to stare at this picture. We just need you to stare at this picture of Hammond that we put on the wall. And then he's like, "Okay, I'm
it's a magic eye, like Ethan Suplee right. and Mallrats."
I like the idea that these like genius businessmen are looking at a giant dump and saying, "Yeah, this is good." And
we found a second plot of land too that we're going to connect
second
it.
Dump.
A second we're going to connect dump. Them to make a business and entertainment center.
It's unbelievable, man. Yeah, just like all the stuff they built up around Sox Park and what was the other one? It's what was the God damn it! I had this in my Bridgeview where they didn't do shit.
Right.
For the fire. Like,
well, and it's you're talking about a football stadium. So for 8 games a year, you're talking about 8 Sundays, essentially, or 9, maybe.
Maybe 10, maybe 11. But yeah,
it's just not a sustainable model. It's not a baseball like district. Right. So if you're right. I mean, then it's a whole summer. Then you know, businesses can survive. If you're talking about 9 Sundays that these areas have to make their living on. In this economic climate, forget it.
Right. I mean, if you try insane. And build up something around Hammond and you say, okay, but we've got this great village around it. So people will come in February and March and whatever, because they'll just come and hang out. Like, no one's going to a Buffalo Wild Wings on a swamp in Hammond.
Yeah, right.
Even the people in Hammond aren't going to do that. They probably already have a Buffalo Wild Wings they go to.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
I'm skeptical that people would go to it in Arlington, but I know that there are people around Arlington Heights and there's
it's still a big town with lots of population. It's not a giant, you know, Native American burial ground and toxic waste dump. It's literally the land of wind and ghosts is Hammond.
Yeah.
Or these sites are anyway. Like nothing's passed the smell test. Nothing passes
quite
it.
Not literally.
Including the site itself.
Man, what a joke. It just goes.
You couldn't fuck this up more.
No, and they continue to keep making it worse.
Right. They keep stepping in it.
We haven't even gotten Kevin's letter yet. You know, he's writing a letter at some point. He likes to write a letter right before every important Bears event. So I'm sure before week one, we're going to get, or probably the home opener, I'm guessing he'll do it again this year. He'll write some letter about how they're continuing to move forward with Hammond in some way. It's their sole focus.
Guide you.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a good owner. I'm trying to think of like an owner who takes is only focused on getting things done and is a winner. He's probably an asshole, but like, how long ago would Kevin Warren have been fired for by a real owner?
Oh, year one.
Like year one, right? Like he would have walked in and he's like, oh, okay, who hired this dope?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they already had the land at Arlington to him getting the job. So, and everything was already done. They had already done all the tests and the land and
because they bought it right away because Ted had a mandate from the family saying this is what the old man wanted. He wanted to build here, buy it now before someone else does. So they gave away all the leverage and now they're trying to manufacture out of cold cloth and everyone's telling him to go screw.
Yeah. Well, and also I think Kevin Warren has no idea what he's doing. He's in way over his head. And so he's just trying to prolong this as long
Kevin
as he can.
Kevin Warren the fact that he was able to present an organization that was healthy enough to hire Ben Johnson. And now look, they were
just
competing
like Eberflus fixed the grass and John Fox got Palace Hall upgraded.
Right. I mean, they were competing with the Raiders and Jets, which is, you know, not much, but hey, that's the class the Bears were in.
He beat out TB12.
He beat out TB12. You know, like, so he knew enough to be like, we have to get this guy. This is the guy we have to get. That's not necessarily his job. But he did it. What was his job, he just can't do. And I really want to be in those meetings where like the Bears lawyers and the Bears lobbyists they've hired are telling Kevin Warren, look, you got to go down here.
Apparently that's the case too, is like they're actually telling him stuff that he's just ignoring.
He's just ignoring. Like, I want to be, like, you have to come down to Springfield. You have to talk to these people. You have to tell them what you want in the bill. You have to write the bill. You have to meet with these people. You have to shake hands. You have to go to lunches. And he's just like, no, I know better. And they're just like, what are you talking about?
So apparently he is capable of hiring real people, Ben Johnson and this, you know, loyal staff of lobbyists and lawyers. And then he just gets to ignore all of them and do whatever he wants anyway, like talk to draft picks before the coach does.
Which has become my favorite moment of the draft. Because you can hear the dread in Paul's and Ben Johnson's voice. Okay, here.
It's getting worse with each year, too.
Each year it's gotten worse. Like, they do the welcome, the Bears are so excited to have you. Here's coach. And he's like, oh, I can't wait to get you in camp here. We got it. We got so much work to do. But it's going to be great. And then you hear Paul's, okay, here's, you got to talk to our president.
All right, yeah, this I gotta put you on the phone. His name is
I gotta
Kevin.
Put you on the phone.
His name is Kevin Warren.
And you ever notice when Kevin Warren's on the phone, they shut the camera off the draft pick?
Yes.
It's like they don't want the facial expressions for the draft pick getting broadcast where he's just going, who the fuck is this guy?
Or giving the beat off mechanic.
Right. Yeah. Or he's like put down the phone and is like hugging his family and getting drunk. That's the best. Anyway. That's enough for the stadium, because we're going to be doing this. We're just going to keep doing this.
It's like our Hawks segment every time.
Right. However much longer we do this podcast, and if I had my way, it wouldn't be much longer, but it's not my way. We'll still be talking about this, and the Bears will be in Soldier Field, and they'll be rolling out Cornelison for the anthem in January.
Yeah, and that's immaculate vibes.
And only half the fans will get it, and everyone else will be confused. And that's fine. That's the way I like it. So, yeah. Anyway, back to your preseason notepad.
That's pretty much it, Sam.
That's it?
Know, yeah. I mean, the second half was pretty much a waste of time for all parties.
Yeah.
I still want to know why Jim Miller can't go to practice.
He's
busy,
buddy. He
doesn't host a radio show, right?
No.
He got kicked off XM.
Yep.
He got kicked off a station you have to pay to get to, and therefore there's a threshold of how much they will take, and he was still too racist for NFL on XM.
Yeah, Jim Miller, he just did not have the same juice this year because there was no quarterback to hype up, no right. backup quarterback for him to hype up. So he was definitely a little bit more morose than he has been in years past.
Because there's no more we should start Bajan.
Correct. No more
campaign.
Yeah. Yep. He knows that that is not even a dead horse. That's
so he's just eating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's hyping up the white wide receivers, but it just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same to
him. Not his heart's not in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, this Scotty Miller, he's from the area, you know, he's got real big game experience, you know, he caught.
I mean, it was at least three or four times. There's like, Stacey, you know, you've been in practice. It's like, well, this is you're being paid to analyze these games. You can't go to one practice and see what's going, talk to a beat writer or two.
Watch a drill for 15 minutes and get all you would need to know. Yeah.
Do what I do. Watch 15 minutes of a game, get a couple notes and pretend like you watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Secret's out.
He probably lives out there, right?
We don't know where
he
lives.
The North Shore?
I would think, yeah. I would think he probably lives somewhere along the North Shore there, Lake Forest or thereabouts.
Yeah.
I don't think Jim is commuting out to from the Gold Coast.
It's not like he has to purchase a free ticket with the rabble. You know, it's not like he has to sit amongst Matt's family.
Hey, now.
Maybe he's been banned from camp.
Let's hope. But he can do the games.
Yeah.
Well, he's not close to any of the players, so he's fine up in the booth.
Ben said you're not welcome.
You know what? That wouldn't shock me, honestly.
You're not allowed to be at the same elevation as my players.
Right. I can't have this aura around my players. We're trying to do something here. Well, all right. Well, let me tell the kids then that John has wanted to do kind of an enlarged baseball corner, I assume because it was Cubs Sox week. Maybe the worst week in Chicago.
Awesome.
Didn't stop you from talking your shit
on
Blue Sky last night.
Yeah, yeah. Man, I'm having a great time. But I wasn't at the park. Everything that goes on the park is probably the worst we have to offer as a city. But John, what is it you need to discuss that John, that Slack will refuse to engage you with?
No, they need to stop playing these games so late in the year. This was horrible. I hate these. I think we all are in agreement that we hate these games.
Absolutely.
Yes, but correct. You can stomach them
go
a little
back to
easier.
Separate but equal baseball wise.
I will. I will say that I thought it was before the series started. I'm like, oh, it's actually neat that they're both good.
In the year.
I'm not actually sure how good the White Sox are, but they're in it. And it's like, well,
they're scrappy, you know, Sam.
Certainly, they haven't had one of these this late in the year when they're both in it and they're both good. So it's like, oh, that's neat. And then you look out in the bleachers Monday night and you're like, nope, scrap this. Forget it. Just nope.
Yeah.
Everyone's got their peppers too hot. It's too.
Yeah, there's too much. Yep, too much.
Embarrassing posting from people who should just get their accounts locked during this.
Oh yeah, that reminds me. I got a question for Andrew about the MAGA coded PCA.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah. So Pete Crow Armstrong, apparently by a select few deranged people online, yes, that Andrew,
because the White Sox are socialist.
Yeah.
That's right. And bisexual.
Yes. And bisexual.
Now are these folks, these are Cubs fans that think this?
No. No,
it's socialist White Sox fans.
Yes, it's the morally superior White Sox fans.
Oh, okay. I thought these were like deranged
Cubs
fans.
Who've assigned politics to a player they don't know anything
right,
about.
Right, right. Both of his parents. Both of his parents are actors / actresses. Grew up in
Hollywood liberals. Yes.
Yep. He's best friends with Caleb.
Yes.
Or in town, best friends with Caleb. I mean, they hang out all the time.
And Connor, don't forget, they're like the three Musketeers. Right.
Caleb, who is very well, he's not as
they're young men,
right?
And I gotta be honest with you, John, I think digging into what they do or do not believe means less than nothing.
Absolutely.
Who cares? Fucking cares.
It yeah,
there's a literal guy who left the team to go to Charlie Kirk's funeral on this team.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm also
just, and I guess this is a blue sky thing. How many people like didn't just miss that the Bayrou stuff was a joke?
Everybody like, missed
just,
it.
He's just because ripping with deranged. His buddies like we do on this podcast. He'd actually fit on this podcast.
Sky. I hate to tell you, Sam, you can't make jokes.
Yeah, you can't make jokes on Blue Sky. I should know that. That's why no one follows me or retweets me. It's so usually fans of other teams who are like, oh, I can use this as ammo, you know, or whatever. But yeah, not our finest moment.
Ugh, yeah, that was bad. Okay, I got that cleared up then. Thank you, Andrew.
These people are right to just assume that a white baseball player is shut it out
like,
to the tits.
You're pointing it out like it's some kind of anomaly.
Yeah.
It's 95% of the players. What are you talking about? Like, and even if he is Spencer
Strider, and
so is everybody else you root for, you fucking moron.
Right, right. That's the funny part.
Because they're rich.
What?
The other ironic part would be like if it was like he was part of that like 5% that isn't.
Yeah.
And,
okay, great. So yeah. What?
Right. No.
Isn't PCA known for like before every single game, like meeting with kids?
Yes.
Yes, but they don't give a shit, Sam. No. They hate his guts. Which, by the way, I do have to declare that is more than okay to just hate a guy who's on a team you don't like, who's kicking your
ass. I don't like
his
fucking
normal
face. You could just
say
that.
We've been doing it with Albert Pujols our entire lives.
Yes.
And I don't really understand where I do understand where
John
the hatred comes from.
Charlie McAvoy more than anything else. He's a moon-faced mouth breather.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't even play for a team he particularly dislikes.
Yeah, I don't get where the Sox. Well, I've given up on Sox fans a long time ago. So, or trying to even understand them because it just is insane.
I don't think there is any understanding.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like of all like Cub guys to hate. Like PCA has been around for like a year and a half, and they hate him. I feel like it just the hatred flows from player to player, so it's like the same thing. So it started with Sosa, and then like that grew to such an insane level, and then transferred to Javier Baez.
I mean, it's always the best player, right?
Well, no, because it was Javier Baez.
No, it's
the
flashiest.
The flashiest.
Yeah,
he's the
flashiest. Yeah, flashiest. Interesting. Interesting. Well, I think, you know,
the Sox fans hate the good guys wear black and they hate Flash and they're grinder ball.
Grinder rules. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know as a youngin, I would say an actual fan of Frank Thomas when he was playing. Like, I was like, this guy rules. Like, he's awesome. Mm-hmm. I think you just kind of like, then you get exposed to some of this stuff and you're just like, all right, this is insane.
I don't think it's just Sox fans though. I think.
Oh no, there's certainly a national, it's divisive and, you know, obviously.
Well,
there's,
it offends people's baseball sensibilities. The baseball police have everyone's self-deputized now.
And it's also probably a lot of New York folks that are mad that the Mets got rid of him. Right. And so they're going to take it out on, well, he wasn't that good anyways.
He's a cocky young white kid with some swag, but he backs it up. So
yeah.
I don't know what people
just
want.
Shut up. Pretend like he doesn't exist. Don't even talk to him. Don't look at him. I know. All that's going to do is motivate him to play better against you. Just shut the fuck up.
Right. The tarp's
off.
Shut the
fuck up and ignore
him. That's the thing. I mean, if you want to take all of this and distill it, John, like you're saying, he hears everything.
Yes.
And I believe his career OPS against the White Sox is like 1700.
Yeah.
So also, his whole season was in the toilet until he told that river rat at Comiskey, suck my dick, bitch. Right. And now
she wanted him to do.
And
look what happened.
And now he's having one of the best seasons literally anyone can remember.
Right. Just leave him alone. He can't stop firing baseballs at the tarps off section in St. Louis. Like, they just turn around now. They're like, okay, we're not going to say anything.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean,
stop talking about him. Stop obsessing over him. Just shut up and let him take his at bats and don't even make a sound. Just shut up.
Here's what I will say, related. I'm trying to. It's like, you'll have to help me here. Although John's a Cubs historian as much as he is a White Sox historian.
Ed Hardy over here.
Watching PCA the past couple weeks, I've seen him win a game on the base pass. He's won a game at the plate. You know, had a few two homer games, walk offs against, you know, two homers against the Dodgers. You see him win games in the field. I can't think of another Cub who's ever done all that in like the span of like 3 weeks.
Oh, Sandberg did, Sam. Come on now.
Yeah. Okay. But that's 30 years ago.
Right.
40 years ago.
And I would say maybe Sosa did it for 1 year when he was first there and he first got good.
When he still cared about defense.
Jerry Curl saved
me.
Instead of, can I throw the ball through the backstop?
Yeah.
Which he could.
We all remember that throw. Everybody remembers that throw. Or maybe there were multiple, but there was a lot.
Which one I was going to say. There's a few.
Yeah, he definitely threw it like straight into the upper deck from there at some point, which is so funny.
I mean, it's okay. Sosa, Sandberg, but I mean, that's the class you're talking about. Those are Hall of Fame.
Well, Sam, like, you can take any kind of number you want and put it up against whoever, and you're getting things like he would be the first player to win a gold glove and go 30-30 in back-to-back seasons since literal fucking Barry Bonds.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I mean,
like,
no
Pirates
Cub has
Barry
done
Bonds.
He's basic. He might not be as drunk, but he's the reincarnation of Mickey Mantle is what he's doing.
So, well, I mean,
no one was as drunk as the Mick.
And he loved fuck. But yeah, no, I think, like, yeah, as far as
how many people
go,
do you think he told to suck his dick in the crowd
daily?
There's tons of stories about that actual thing. So that happened constantly with him. Not a joke. I mean, he had like a 40 IQ, that guy. But yeah, no, I think, like you said, it's maybe the best single season we've seen. And
true. One of Mantle's three livers had a higher IQ than he did, but
since we're sort of on the topic, I wanted to also mention something because this is in the bloodstream, I guess. So in game one of this the series that just ended, everyone was saying about how Will Venable should have walked PCA in the 10th inning. Just. Who cares?
It's the man from Matt.
Again, this is I'm Andrew here. Who cares? Just shut up. You have a lefty on the mound. You didn't score in your first half of the Manfred inning, which is basically you've lost. If you don't score and you're the road team in a Manfred extra inning game, you lose. So
also, if you look at the replay too, he was kind of fooled by the pitch. It was a good pitch that he absolutely like tattooed.
It's just so stupid to obsess over this decision. Like I saw like the Chuggo podcast that apparently they live stream the game as it's happening. And I think whoever it was talking about how Will needs to be fired because of this decision.
Was it Herb?
Yes, it was Herb.
Which Herb?
Lawrence.
Yes. Fire the manager because of a decision that he made in a game that you've already lost. Right. And even if he walked him, you'd probably still would lose.
Yeah, you didn't face the other guy that already homered tonight.
Face the other guy with a 900 OPS.
Oh, and that's the other thing. You had no outs. It's not like it was like one out or two outs. You had no outs.
It was leading off the inning.
Yes.
Which is like going back to John's point. We talked about this earlier. The way this stupid Manfred man just makes extra innings feel like a joke of like you can score three runs off of choppers, like back to back to back choppers that just it's awful to
it's
watch.
It's the loser it's, point.
I turn so it off. What, any game I'm watching, usually, if it gets past innings, I turn it off. It's like hockey overtime. Like Matt's saying, once a hockey game goes past 60 minutes, I don't care. I turn it off. It doesn't matter.
You're not learning anything.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no conclusion you
unless,
can draw.
Unless it's late in the season with hockey where you absolutely need to, like, you know, with whatever, you know, of the 74 tiebreakers there are, you know, your team needs whatever outcome with that to clinch or stay alive or whatever. That's the only time it ever actually matters. And it doesn't really because the first tiebreaker is regulation wins.
Right. Yeah.
So. But the Sox should fire the manager based on a decision that he made, even though he's got the team 6 games over 500 on a team that was projected.
They're at least 20 games ahead of where everyone thought they'd be.
Yeah. Yeah. Fire the manager because you don't agree
which
with
is
his.
Not to say so, that Will is a like which, tactical genius.
No, and no, the other thing though too is like
that this series needs to be outlawed because nobody can keep their fucking brain in their head.
Yeah,
you know what? I always used to Slack and I both used to mock how much this meant to Sox fans and how they lose their minds over this no matter what they're doing. But I think that's a two way street now.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course it is. I want the Cubs to win these series because I can't stand. Like just reading this fucking crap.
You don't lose your mind like some Cubs fans.
No, I wait for it to go away. I just like, sit there and I wait for it to go away.
I you know, save that for the Cardinals. You know,
the
Brewers,
other thing too like, is that like the series is like always it's always going to be in perfect balance like this, where one team is the win loss record is always going to be at or near 500. It's just always going to be that way. So just
because it's baseball,
just get these fucking games over with. Honestly, don't even bother playing them next time. Just split the series every year. Two out of three in the one park.
Sim the crosstown.
Yeah, just sim them.
Yeah, hit L3.
Simulate to end.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be all for it. But
that said, the first game was wildly entertaining. Last night's game was really good. Even today's game, I didn't watch much of it.
You didn't want to see Jose or Quitty shut him down?
No. Flipping it up there, buddy. but, you know, I mean, they're just the Cubs are obviously a really good team. The Sox are an aesthetically pleasing team, which is you could not say about them when they've ever been good for at least 30 plus years. They just play such good defense.
Right. Both teams do. So yeah, the play Madroth
on both sides.
Madroth made today was out of this world.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a face you can hate too.
Whenever I hear stuff about like Sox fans losing their mind about like you know Herb or whoever calling for the manager to be fired over one decision in a Cubs Sox game, I have to go back to my days interning at ESPN. And John, you'll remember the Sox lost one game. On a Renteria Grand Slam. Edgar. Ricky Gutierrez Grand Slam.
Okay.
In the bottom of the 0-0 game. We got there eventually. Ricky Gutierrez hits the Grand Slam. And then I have to run over to the show where Belton Bill Melton's on the post game show.
Rest in
and
peace.
He's just telling everyone that how minute. it doesn't count because it's a little league park. So well, there's nothing you can do. It's a little league park, you know.
And it's a gay bar. While we're at
it's a little league park. It's like, oh, were the Sox taking their at bats in a different park? Were they? Well, it doesn't matter. What can you do? You can't get upset about this. It's a little league park.
So dumb. Like that guy's such a troll.
You're a professional. You were a professional baseball player. Aren't you above this?
Like, you can't just show your ass like this to people all the time. That's the whole thing about it. Like,
my book.
Isn't he dead now, anyways?
Yes,
he's dead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm speaking ill of the dead, and
he's dead anyways.
Who cares? He can't hear you. It's just like the stupidest shit ever. I'm exhausted.
The other thing too that like. Is really starting to like irritate me just from Sox fans in general is this is like this just immediately going to this place where it's like you're living and dying with every game. Like, what are you doing? Like, this is house money. This should be a season that you are just
giggling all the time.
Yeah. You're just rolling in pig shit because this is like the most fun season they've had. Even the 2021 season, where we just talked about, I think on the pre-show, not on the actual show, where they won 94. It was 94 games, but it was a fucking miserable experience.
It was miserable. I know what you mean. I mean,
the Cubs
were so bad that year. I watched almost every Sox game
presiding over everything,
right? Yeah, nothing about that was enjoyable. This season, they can't get over 8 games .500.
Angry drunk in a parking lot before the playoff game.
They do that on the reg. So,
this is just a really fun season. It's they play really fun games. They're enjoyable to watch, even if sometimes you don't like the outcome. That doesn't mean you don't have a good time watching them. Like the two losses that really stick out to me is like really like just like make me red ass would be the Houston game they lost. They were up 5-0, and then the.
Cincinnati game.
The Cincinnati game where they're 4-1. Okay, I'll throw a third one in. The Boston game that they lost in 14 innings. That was another one that really...
All-timer, yeah.
But they're playing all these close games. Like, this is not normal.
If you're an actual good team, like, you have to blow teams out occasionally.
Right.
Like, there's
they might not actually be a good team. They don't have to be.
They're competitive. Yeah. They're a competitive team, and it's a down year in the league. So, why not?
Yeah, I mean,
got the inside track for the fucking bye, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, this is just a fun season. So I don't understand where all this angst comes from. Like, people were flipping out over the Sox having two openers for this series and, like, just wanting to just burn Chris Getz at the stake for not selling the entire farm for Clay Holmes and whoever else was available. Like, how did that work out? It was fine. If you have a guy that can go 4 innings, which is Eric Fetty is at this point, then yes, you need an opener. But if it works out, you're still in line to win that game. Like last night, if Taylor throws anything but a slider to Bregman, he strikes him out probably in that seventh inning or gets him out. He threw the same pitch 4 times in a row. And, you know, Bregman's really good and he's going to make you pay for it. So, you know, it's just irritating to me, like that you can't sit here and look at this season and not just love it. Like to me, this is like an extension of the Bears season that you just had. You're winning a lot of games that you probably shouldn't be. You're in contention. Does that mean you need to win the Super Bowl or win the World Series this year? No.
I wanted the Bears to win the Super Bowl.
How many seasons like in this city on that team? How many seasons do you get like this very often? It's like comes around once every 10 years. So just enjoy it. There's going to be plenty of other seasons for you to be miserable about.
Right? They're all the next ones.
On these very airwaves, I was willing to bet John another 100 loss season.
Right?
He was so beaten down he almost took it. or refuse to make it rather because he's like, I don't know, buddy, we got the 4 years in a row. I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's a good John impression,
which is just him doing Terry anyway.
Right.
I mean, this whole thing is us doing Terry. I will say, maybe this is based on vibes. I guess I'd have to look it up. I feel like they've always made the Wrigley Cubs Sox series Monday through Wednesday. They're just like, no, we can't do this on a weekend anymore.
No, they used to do them on weekends. Because
I feel like the one at Comiskey is always on a weekend.
Because they need the draw. They need the gate. Comiskey needs the gate.
Well, I was at the July 4th game. Well, the Sunday night game in 2004. So that was a weekend series.
That's 20 years ago, John.
22 years ago.
Yeah.
This is like is basically, Sam, you'll know, when they had to stop selling Maybach at German Fest.
Mayfest?
Yeah, yeah. Mayfest, because it would get people too fucking, because
the yuppies couldn't handle it.
They couldn't handle their shit, and for like one weekend, Lincoln Square turned into Wrigleyville with the amount of yard piss that was going on. So they couldn't sell like the 8% high octane shit, and that's the same thought process here. No, if we put it on Monday through Wednesday, there's at least a better chance of people being cool.
They still had a brawl.
And that's the other
thing,
too.
Nobody believes that.
Everyone getting diped over Will Venable. They just swept Detroit in Detroit, the second place team.
More important series.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just and he managed it as though it was the more important series. Like, clearly, like, these games, you could tell how much these games meant to Will Venable. He wanted to win them. It wasn't something that he was going to break his bullpen over. Like, the series in Detroit, he was willing to...
Those were all the proverbial four-point games.
Yes, he was willing to go to his B or C squad bullpen for this series. He was going with his A bullpen for every Detroit game.
It's all Jerry Manuel's fault. He poisoned all Sox fans' minds when he set his rotation in spring training.
Yeah.
To beat the Cubs in June in 1999. He's like, oh yeah, I was planning for this series all the way back in Arizona. It's like, then you need another job.
Yeah.
This is not
And he
for
didn't
you.
Get one.
No, he did.
He didn't get
the Mets.
Did he?
Yeah. He managed the Mets. That's right.
He took the Mets to game seven.
That's not a real job.
He took the Mets to game seven of the LCS that they lost to the Cardinals.
Well, then he's even worse.
Yep.
Unacceptable.
Of course he goes from
still standing there.
From White Sox, you know, psychosis to the Mets.
All right. That's enough of that.
Yeah, that was my baseball stuff. So I hope you're happy.
There's no hockey stuff, right?
No,
God, no.
There's the last. You made Sam very happy. We can always do the thing where I check to see if what I've written is completely bonkers. Macklin Celebrini is not in the pipeline, right?
No,
that's not a pipeline. He's there. He's out of the faucet.
He's in the pool.
He's in the pool. Like, the pipeline is what's coming. It's on its way. He's there.
Connor Bedard is there. Now, if they had just said, you don't have to say pipeline. If you had said, like, who's got the brightest outlook for the next, you know, 4 or 5 years. If you frame it that way, it's a completely different.
Right. Yours or the is best a, under 23.
Yes,
yeah.
Or the best under 23. Yours is a semantic argument, Sam, but yes, you are right.
Right. But, like, we have to listen to this shit all season. Like, well, the Hawks may be 1-20, but they have the best pipeline. No, Bedard and Nazar and Levesque, they're here. Like, that's not a pipeline.
And they stink. They're not being developed.
Right. So
they're everywhere.
All right. Well, I don't have any questions from the Cretans. Do you guys?
I got a couple.
Nobody really responded to me.
Yeah. No one's listening to this again.
We
had that brief spasm where, like, people might have
I'll
been
say
listening,
this.
But
if you like this podcast, please tell Sam that you like it, because he's convinced that no one does.
Well, I don't know that people listening like it. They just
listen. I got one question. I can start.
Okay.
All right. And I don't even know how the hell to answer this, but it's from Sean at I Am The Snuggler. Thank you for your first crap. Good luck on your first crap.
I need to do an audio where I like to post the picture of Benson and Stabler looking at the computer for that one.
He is Dust Snuggler. He says, do we think Iceman is cool or lame?
Isn't he stealing it from a soccer guy?
He steals the celebration, not the nickname.
Well, he got the nickname because of the celebration.
If there's a Geiger counter on it, I would have it like 5 degrees to the lame side, but that's okay. Most nicknames are lame.
It's well, a, I think, a nickname yeah. is only lame if you give it to yourself.
And he didn't.
He did not give that to himself.
No. Yeah.
So it's fine.
But he boosted the celebration, but other people started calling him that. So again, whatever. But now he's trying.
You got to be a brand.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. And
he's been a brand for a long time now.
Yeah, exactly. He knows what he's doing.
And,
he's like
and now the two guys who do the Iceman celebration both play for Chelsea, which is gross.
It's well, and good luck to them. Just kidding.
So.
All right.
None of my business.
I mean, it's a little lame, but the mural's cool. If everyone's embracing it, it becomes a thing. You
Cover
know
of Madden is cool.
Like that's there are far worse crimes. Like I can handle it, but yeah, it's a little lame.
It would be even more lame if he sucked.
Right.
Yeah. What's Jordan Love's nickname? Anyone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's
it would
nickname?
Be way lamer if my entire
bitch.
Personal worth
yeah, he doesn't
wasn't
have
invested
one.
In him.
Lolly arm bitch.
Mina Kimes' favorite player.
Mina's
that's
bitch.
His nickname. Yeah. Congratulations to you, Jordan Love.
Oh man, that's
actually
Packers,
isn't it like Toyota
Thon
or something?
Today.
Whatever.
Was it good or was it just the same thing over and over?
Oh no, I mean it's the same thing, but it's always great when it's the Packers because he hates the Packers as much as we do, and now he had all these videos of Bears games to put in it.
Who?
Why the Packers suck on
McGarry.
Oh, I don't read that shit.
He posted like three highlights of like Bears Packers games. It's like anytime I see him, I'm gonna play him.
Yep, you got to.
You post
it's the law.
You post the DJ Moore overtime touchdown. I'm gonna play it. I'm
a
gonna
Vikings
watch it.
Fan needs the Bears to do all his shit talking about the Packers. That is a new high.
But that only makes me feel better.
Yeah,
that's what
but
I'm saying.
But keep in
I
mind, Drew McGarry is a child.
Yep. Go easy on the guy with the terminal brain injury.
Just ask him.
TBI.
All right, I've only got a couple also. Our guy, Amy's favorite, wants to know how impressed we are with the Detroit Tigers' second half surge.
Well, just ask John Morosi.
Yeah. Not doing much for me.
John Morosi, Chubb level throbbing.
His yellow pad is bursting.
To be fair, and this is more to be fair to John, who's I feel like maybe you felt insane constantly saying like, why do they keep hyping up this mediocre Tigers team all the time?
They have a negative run differential. Oh no, wait, that's right, they have the highest run differential, but they're somehow below 500. How do you even manage that?
Well, anyway. It wasn't just horny John Morosi this year. It was like every national baseball writer talking about the Tigers post Scooble trade. Like they're really going to, you know, run away with the division starting now. And it's just like it was based on nothing. It's ridiculous.
No, it's based on them doing it like 3 years ago. So they're like, oh, they'll do it again.
Yeah, it's tiresome. And I have your back on this one.
Thank
Very
you.
Stupid.
I appreciate that.
Undeserved.
All right, and then last one here. I suppose longtime guy. I'm not sure what his other moniker was, but he says he's just new to Blue Sky, and he made the bingo card a while back, non-Killian division, non-Killian bingo card. Said most cough sickle says, what's your most memorable? I can't believe I saw them at that small venue show. I know Sam's.
Everyone knows mine, so I'll let you guys go.
Trying to think.
Was it Mud Honey and Empty Bottle?
Hell yeah, making out at the Mud Honey
Hell
show.
Hell yeah, making out at the Mud Honey show.
I don't even know if I have one.
For Sam's, just for the record for everyone knows Sam's is what? Soundgarden at the Vic.
Soundgarden at the Vic.
How did you score that?
No, I can't remember. It was like a warm up show for Lala. So it was like the day before Lala, and like they announced it like in the middle of a weekday afternoon. And
I remember that
sitting at home doing nothing. So I scored tickets. Yeah, it was like tickets go on sale in like 10 minutes or something.
Yeah,
it's like the Metallica playing the Metro show.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Let's look at the set list for that.
No, that's okay. Don't do that.
This was in what? This 2010?
What? Soundgarden?
Yeah.
2010, yeah.
August. Yeah, not bad.
Minus the Bear opened.
Jeez.
Indeed they did. So, well, fellow Seattle ones.
Swung on, belted.
Swung on, yeah. It's one of the best nights of my life. So, anyway, Matt, did you have an answer?
What big bands are you seeing, McClure, that I would love to know?
Well, I'm talking like... most stuff is like, it's bands that I saw like when they were opening for like the fucking, you know, God knows who.
I think that still counts.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like who?
I don't know. I saw Turnstile a handful of times just at like, you know, sub T.
Well, I guess
shit.
That counts. Yeah.
And they're now headlining stadiums.
For sure.
Smaller scale, I suppose. I saw...
Oh, I guess I have one, sort of.
The Gaslight Anthem with six of my closest friends the week Reggie's opened, when they opened for The Draft, which was the non-Chuck Reagan side project of Hot Water Music, and that was the same night I missed, because I remember getting a bunch of texts after I walked out of there, because it's a fucking bomb shelter on the south side, and it was just still text at the time in 2007. That was the same night as Tabes' debut, when he scored on Nabokov on his first shot, on his first shift. So, I'm trying to think if there's anyone else.
I mean, I guess technically I saw a bigger band. I saw Foo Fighters open for Mike Watt at the Metro before they even released an album.
I mean, part of history.
Do you guys consider, I mean, I think they're pretty big now considering, or they at least they got very big. M83? Would you consider them a large act? Okay.
Yeah,
I saw them at
big enough.
I saw them at Empty Bottle.
Yeah.
I saw
play like at
least
the Aragon now, right? Like,
I mean, yeah, I think that they've got some songs with some absurd like streaming counts. So
yeah. Yeah. They're pretty
definitely
big.
I saw Health at Empty Bottle. They've been in movie soundtracks.
One loud show.
It was insane. And it was a Sunday night when I had work in the morning.
Holy cow.
Next morning. So not great.
How'd that go?
Not great, Sam.
John loves his industrial music.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob.
I saw Gojira at Bottom Lounge. That was cool.
And now they're Olympic opening ceremony big.
That's right.
And the thermals at Ultra Lounge. I saw them there too, and they were...
Oh, man. Ultra Lounge is gone.
Was that before work too?
No, that was actually a Friday night.
Okay.
Right? Ultra Lounge is gone? Isn't
yeah, that's it's something else now, but yeah.
I saw Russian Circles there once.
Yeah, it was the same weekend.
Was that with you?
No, but they had that, like, they were doing, like, the free beer giveaway.
Uh-huh.
And it was the Thermals and Russian Circles Friday, Saturday shows.
That was such a wild thing to walk into. You just walk into a bar and Russian Circles are playing. It was the weirdest thing.
With free beer, yeah.
Oh, man, it was so strange.
And it wasn't, like, when you say, like, free beer and it was, like, oh, you get like one or two, and that's like
they
pretty
give
much
you
it.
Tickets.
No, it was as much as you wanted.
But that's what I'm saying. The last time I went to a quote unquote free beer show, it was with our good friend and a friend of the program Doyle to like some indoor skate park vans thing, like in 20.
Yeah, yeah, I was there. Yeah,
in Anaheim,
in West Loop.
Yeah,
no, Anaheim,
in West Loop.
And
not Anaheim.
The Vans warehouse thingy. Yeah, I know.
And it was sweltering hot. There was no air conditioning in there. And they gave you like two drink tickets for like two little like 8 ounce 312s or whatever, because it's put on by Goose Island. And despite that and not being able to find a liquor store to walk to around there to even just, because it was a first come like free admission sort of thing where you kind of had to stand in line to, again, seeing Dillinger Four and the Lawrence Arms, you kind of had to start to get a load on. And trying to, you know, find something to drink on just waiting in line on the way in the alley, classy. Still managed to get drunk on just finding tickets on the floor to bring
just,
up to
this
the...
is all just proof that kids growing up now, just it's never going to be as good as it was ever again.
No, yeah, now you got to go
not
the
not,
time
not
to
evidence
to
that not evidence
rave.
That I have a problem or anything. It's evidence of the good old days.
Yeah.
Now you got to just sneak into the Congress Theater and throw a rave and piss on the walls.
I know,
guys,
know.
I'd see this,
I know it smelled crazy in
town,
there.
We'll never know the
town,
joy of drinking
saying,
a 40 behind the Lincoln Hall and in the alley there.
When James was in town, he just kept seeing just regular everyday stuff and saying, just they wouldn't even conceive of doing this in Norway. It just, everything sucks there. This is, it's just like, everything was so mind blowing to him. It was so funny.
Can you give me a, for instance,
There was like a literal, like small, like little band playing at the farmer's market. And he was like, they would never do this. They don't even conceive of just having,
well, yeah, it's like 2 degrees
music. I'm like, what are you, like, he's just impressed by everything. It's nice.
Wouldn't it be nice to be like that again?
It would, wouldn't it? Yeah.
So you're all right. Full of hope.
He's going to parties now, so it's all, well, it's all downhill from here.
Well, not necessarily.
I guess we'll see.
I mean, parties sucked for us, Slack, but they don't have to suck for him.
That's what I mean. I think he's going to do pretty well.
Okay, yeah, so.
I just can't get in the way.
Oh, you're not going to. This isn't the movie Blockers.
It's not.
All right.
Ike Barinholtz, come on the show.
That movie's funnier than it has any right to be. Anyway, that's enough of this shit. I'm Sam, Slack, Matt, John. Thank you so much for listening, downloading. Please rate, review, and share, and subscribe to the newsletter. We'll be back next week. John will have another loaded notepad about Bears-Bengals action. It's the Bengals this week, not the Titans, right?
Correct.
Caleb's not going to play. No one's important is going to play, but that's okay. Won't stop your notepad.
Bateson's not even going to play.
Joe Burrow's going to play, and he's going to get absolutely walloped, and they'll keep him in there.
Is Bateson not even going to play?
Well, yeah, no, because he's dingy. He's dingy.
Aren't
he's
we
hurting
all?
For a squirting. Yeah, I wrote that.
Who the fuck are you to judge me? Keep your hoe on a leash.
Until next time, tough guys, out.